5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bam! Yeah, you are listening to Flowing with Famous, the Fresno Everything podcast, where we talk about Fresno pop culture, entertainment, food, religion, politics. We don't really talk about that. And I am Joshua Teehee, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater. And with me, as always, Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Mike.
I'm here. I'm with you.
And we are
ready
officially into May.
And May.
So I was thinking about earlier as I was coming into this, I thought we're probably going to talk about the weather and the fact that...
Unplanned, we always start with weather.
And here's the thing. It's not as if... I don't think we talk about the... Recently, we have been talking about the weather recent months because it's been so kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it got cold, then there was rain, blah, blah, blah. Now, we have some heat coming on.
Yeah.
It's still... It's not
still
bad.
Been nice, though.
We're not in the thick of it yet, but... Mm-hmm.
I have not jumped in the pool yet.
Oh, okay.
It's not been hot enough for me to.
When,
go in a pool.
If you had to put an over under on it, when is going to be the first pool day, and is it earlier or later than last year?
I feel like last year it already had begun. I think I have it written down. I'm a nerd about writing. Documenting things sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure I have it documented somewhere, but I feel like it was early May.
Okay.
Or maybe early. So it's right around this time.
Okay.
And it won't be me. Like, I think my daughter is going to go in today. Probably.
Oh, really? She's ready for it.
Yammering for it. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Be cold. See
what
it's gonna like.
Hate it.
Because it's going to suck.
Yeah. Okay. Weather's out of the way. Let's just jump in. What do we got going on? There's been a bunch of there's been some news. There's been some events. There's been a lot. Of, yeah.
The Andrew Jans. He's running for mayor.
Woo! A big announcement
already.
I say woo.
It's for 2020, right?
It is not.
Or is it for 2019?
I think it's in June. I think it's the June election. I believe.
Really?
I believe so.
That seems too quick. It's got to be
now
November.
I got to look it up.
That seems too quick.
I don't think it's... Well, let me look that up and we can go and talk about it. But
Lee Brand has a legitimate contender.
Yeah.
Andrew
Jans, not so long ago, it is 2020. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2020.
Or Are we voting in November this year, or is it we're voting in 2020?
We're just going to say like 2020 race, and then that's just going to be, and people can figure it out as it gets closer. So Andrew Jans, back a couple months ago, announced that he was not going to run against Devin Nunes again, and that he was thinking about running for mayor, and then last week filed the paperwork and had his first public appearance. What's interesting about this is already, so like the day, he hadn't even announced yet. He had made his intention known, or maybe he like filed the paperwork or whatever. I don't know. It was like still kind of preliminarily he had announced that he was going to file the paperwork or whatever. And Lee Brand came out and threw all sorts of shade on him.
Yeah.
Like start saying like stuff that's like didn't. So someone tweeted this and I was like, oh yeah. They were like, this doesn't sound like the mayor. Like if I didn't know Brianna Calix wrote the story from the Fresno Bee. I know her. If I didn't know her, I would wonder like, oh man, it just doesn't sound like his style to come out and say something.
Yeah, it sounded like some sort of burner Twitter account, like saying like,
because he was like, essentially what he said is that that Andrew Jans has no experience, like you know, governing, and that you know he ran his campaign essentially saying he's not Devin Nunes,
yeah,
And so what is his mayora? Is it going to be I'm not Lee Brand? And then he's like, no, sir, you are not Lee Brand. You're nowhere close or whatever, something like that.
It was odd. It was like unnecessary and
it was,
and then didn't sound like Lee Brand either.
Right. And just kind of makes it seem, I'm not ready for that kind of like, you know, sketchy political stuff this early in the game, especially for the mayoral race. Start it's like, come on,
Trump's,
man.
Trump style of like, we're going to assign you a nickname and we're going to do all these Trump style tweetings. And it's like, that really, you're not going to go down that path.
And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know. And so Andrew Jans is running sort of on the, you know, I feel like Andrew Jans maybe also took some like easy shots at the mayor with the, you know, not undeserved, but easy shots, you know, about the mayor and the whole parks thing and the whole, you know, uniting Fresno thing as well, you know, because there was that whole
North-South,
which ended up on a tangent here. They had this whole thing about like North-South, blah, 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 blah. And it was this big deal, and they debated it for however long. And you know, Brandow made this whole thing as his final,
his last gasp of dumbness.
And then they signed the thing, and it's essentially the exact same as the proposal.
Yeah.
So
they have to like make themselves look like they've done something.
Okay.
It's like when you know, it's when you get a new boss, and you know everything's running normal. And then some new boss comes in. Oh, okay, we're going to do this because they got to put some sort of stamp on it and make it look like they're doing something. And
so this is what I want, because there was another thing that happened in the city council, which is these no pandering signs.
Yeah.
They were these signs that went there. Oh, I guess they're going up. I don't know.
I've seen them at my 7-Eleven a long time ago.
That
feels
say,
like.
Hey, don't give money to homeless people or whatever.
Yeah.
So they made this whole push. And I just feel like it's totally just to say that they're doing something.
Yeah.
But they're not doing anything of substance. Like that to me is not substance.
Yeah.
To put up stupid signs. No. Like people know.
Yeah. I don't need a sign.
Right. Like people know don't give money to, you know, or not like, they know enough to make the choice themselves.
Right.
They can see the dude standing there.
We've all figured out our personal decisions on whether I'm going to give a guy money or not, and what giving a homeless person money does positive or not positive, and I don't need a 7-Eleven sign to tell me.
I really feel like there's not, there's nothing they can say that I think most people haven't put in their brains at some point already if you've lived around this area. So, so circling back. Andrew Jans, Lee Brand. I think there's some other people that might jump into the race. There's been some rumors.
I would hope so.
So it might be a contentious kind of race.
It initially when I heard it, it worries me that Jans couldn't beat a senator that just a terrible senator that has shown me nothing. It shows me that he doesn't do anything and doesn't really even pay attention to his own area. And so he couldn't even beat him. So how is he going to beat Brand? But Jans's numbers in Fresno, he won in Fresno.
Right.
When
you look at the way that the district is set up for Nunes, he should, and everyone expected him to win by more. So Jans came closer than anyone's come in the history of Devin Nunes's career.
The district is set up to be like it takes a gigantic movement from a Democrat to win
in the same way that the other district, I think it's Patterson's district, is set like it's rigged. So there's a Democratic, there's the district that's going to go to the Democrat, and there's the district that's going to go the Republican. Mm-hmm. And it's just the way it is. So the fact that he came as close as he did, I mean, no one expected him to even come that mm-hmm. close. Because he was within whatever, however many, points there. So, the question will be, I think he has a good chance because he's young and he's a Democrat. And those are things, especially in Fresno, nationally, but also I think in Fresno, those are things that are becoming more important now. Like, I think the day of the old white dude is kind of, and you see it on the council too, because, all of those guys are getting pushback now, and that's not to say that they're still not, doing what they want to do, but they're at least getting pushback on it. So like that whole north-south divide, and there was the thing that we talked about last month that got stopped in its tracks, and mostly because people showed up and said, wait a second, so.
About not being allowed to give somebody food on the side of the road.
But, I think the more, the more people are in, the more choices we have, the better. So,
yeah, I hope that hopefully it'll be somebody else legitimate. Not that Jans or Brand are bad, but just that it would be nice to see a third person that really could get a shot. Not one of those rando people that that declare themselves for mayor. And
what's the
you
dude?
Have no,
what's the dog, the bounty hunter
0.05%.
Remember that guy?
The dog, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? He has the long
the dog, whatever.
Man, and I say that, it sounds like I'm being disrespectful. I'm not. That's just how I remember, because he looks a little bit like Dog the Bounty Hunter. He has the hair style.
Oh, there's a guy that ran like that.
Yeah. But I think that was several years ago. That was probably in the Schweringen days. So
there's always some sort of goofy one.
It's going to be really interesting. We're having a lot of the politics is it's on a crazy train right now. It seems like here in town. So. We'll see.
And 2020 is going to be all kinds of interesting.
And something to look forward to, I think, or to watch out for. Brandow is now officially on. He's officially one of yours now. He's on the he's on the board of supervisors.
Scary as hell.
And not the city council. And so we'll see. There's some question as to whether now that he's on the city or on the board of supervisors. What he might do or whatever. And will that get people interested in – because the Board of Supervisors –
Now people are going to start showing up for Board of Supervisors.
Because the Board of Supervisors always seems just kind of like, a little more low-key for, the city. City Council, everyone's like, ooh, City Council's having a debate and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the Board of Supervisors, unless it's something really big, I think they just kind of – fly under the radar or something. Yeah. So. All right.
I'm sure he's gonna bring them more attention than they want. The rest of the supervisors.
Maybe, yeah. But so we'll see. We'll see how it changes the supervisor, the board, and whether it pushes them more to the right or whatever.
Liquor licenses.
This is a good one.
So I didn't know that. I had always thought that I haven't read too much into it, but I feel like you'll be able to fill in the
somewhat.
Gaps.
I read a couple of things.
That I always thought that the city had, say, 100 liquors, just for sake of argument, 100 liquor licenses, and that's all there was.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to open up a new place, you'd have to buy a license from somebody else in town that already has one. Wouldn't be new ones created.
I think this is there's a difference. So what we're talking about is there's a name for it. It's essentially like the liquor licenses to buy and sell from a store, like a carry out. So for
there's one different from selling and different from...
Yeah, so different from the liquor licenses if I opened a bar mm-hmm. and I wanted to sell Mm-hmm. Like, I think those are different. So there was this stat in the story that I read. So essentially, this is all about the city changed its policies toward liquor license for convenience stores and, mm-hmm. and such within, I guess within the whole city, but essentially it will affect South Fresno where there is an abundance of liquor licenses.
Too many damn liquor stores.
And so there was a quote or a stat in the story in the Fresno Bee that was just crazy. And it was like something to the effect of for 10 years, so between 1992 and 2002 or something like that, the city approved every single liquor license that came its way, like everyone. And I was like, oh my God, that's insane. But I think what they're referring to is those liquor licenses for like carry out, you know, liquor from convenience stores and, mm-hmm. and the like. So I don't think this includes bars and restaurants, because I think that falls under a different category
okay.
for ABC.
Yeah.
But it is true, man. So I live downtown. I live in the Mural District, and they are building another
gas station,
like
mini
a gas
mart.
Station mini mart on, I don't know, what is it's that, like Fulton and or Van Ness
Belmont?
And Belmont yeah. around that area, mm-hmm. just up
180.
Yeah. And there's going to be, I think they were put in, they put in for a liquor license. I don't know if they got, I think they got it. But anyway, so there was some question of like me, you know, there are too many liquor stores in the area. And so, I did a quick like count one mm-hmm. day, just as I was kind of driving, and it is insane. It's like every other corner, you know,
right.
like on Divisadero, there's a liquor store on, not a convenience store that I that sells liquor. Fulton and Divisadero. Divisadero and Broadway. Once you turn onto 8th Street, there's a gas station that sells liquor store on, you know, H and Divisadero. You know, if you go just up to Palm and Belmont, there's one. If you go just there. So, I mean, it's if you go down to Olive and Palm and Olive, there's the
it's
cake.
Crazy.
You know, so,
I don't know how they
well,
even
make
two, money.
Well, there's one right before. I mean, it's just, it's insane.
I don't, because I know from working in retail for a long time that the profit margin is like tiny, 1-2% profit margin
on liquor.
Well, just in the store in general.
Oh, in the store in general. Yeah.
And so like that with so many in the area, I don't know how everybody makes enough of a living.
I know
they're there for like 16 hours a day. So
yeah,
it's like
well, and yeah, they're open. They open it whatever time.
I don't know why the city has let that just sort of go.
Tax revenue, man.
I guess, yeah.
You know?
I mean, obviously. But
I think that's the, you know, if, yeah.
It's such, so. And these neighborhoods, nobody's, there's not enough in an organized movement to stop, you right, know, somebody's right, going right. to open up, if somebody does that in Northeast Fresno,
okay.
everyone's going to be like, rabble, rabble, rizzle, rabble.
And we know
area,
this,
yeah.
we know this because not too long ago, there was that 7-Eleven at, oh, man, I'm going to flake on where it was. But there was a 7-Eleven.
There's a 7-Eleven on Shaw and Maroa that...
was it the Shaw and Maroa? Yeah.
Probably, because they can't sell
right.
alcohol.
Maybe that was, so there was a 7-Eleven, and they had applied for a liquor license, and the neighboring community was like, no, there's a school, and there's
right.
all this
there's a
stuff.
Liquor,
and,
there's that Maroa Deli right,
right.
across
so
the street.
They were like, no,
liquor.
you can't do it. And you, but that there's that sort of organization, like you're saying, mm-hmm. doesn't really exist in large parts of South Fresno, and so, but that's finally changing. So I think that's
good.
That's a good.
It is unnecessary for more convenience stores selling liquors.
I mean,
really
right.
unnecessary.
I mean, it's probably unnecessary for
Shaw.
You know there could be some argument that like we don't need convenience stores either. We need
right.
like actual stores,
yeah. just a store.
Like I would much rather have seen that be, you know, I mean, although we are going to have a grocery store of some sort opening on Fulton and Divisadero.
Oh, really?
Were right there, Van Ness and DeVisio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one across from Fulton 55?
Yeah, just down from Fulton 55 and right Fulton across 55. From the Dairy Queen or Frosty Queen.
It's been
Queen,
forever, though. Is it? It's surprised. I thought
close.
It was supposed to be open already.
There's signs up and lights on, so we'll see. But anyway, I think that's a good step forward in helping us get where we need to be. So, yeah.
Cool. Grizzly Fest. Let's talk about some
Grizzly
local music
Fest
stuff.
Grizzly Fest is happening. It's happening. Well, it has already happened if you're listening to this, but as we're recording, it is currently, it's not happening yet, but it's going to be happening in about an hour. It'll be day two.
Ooh, day two. How was day one?
It was good. It was really good. So they changed some stuff around just in terms of the layout and some of the amenities of the festival, and I think they did a really good job. The lineup was ridiculously good. The crowd, I feel like there was more people there earlier. I don't know the total. I don't know the counts, but just looking at it and having a sense of what it was like last year compared to this year, I feel like there were more people there earlier and staying later than there were last year. I feel like just being in the crowd, it felt like there were more people than Snoop Dogg, and or you know, so really cool. And you know, I think there's a lot that I think people don't understand about, like just the general people, anyone who really like is into it or has, you know, talked about these things or knows about the music scene probably understands it a little. But just for normal people, like, these are legit. This is a legit thing. Like, these are legit bands that are coming in. There was this band they had called Shade, and they played earlier in the day on the smaller stage. But, like, they had the whole crowd that was there just going crazy and singing along. And this is definitely one of those, like, you know, up-and-coming bands that, you know, this isn't like, you know, they don't have huge bands playing. But they have the kind of bands that play these festivals, you know? I mean, this is a band that could legitimately play any other festival. And they're here in Fresno. And it was like every band was like that. And so I think, you know, people may look at this and not quite understand that, like, what these guys are bringing to Fresno, I mean, is as legit as, you know, anything else.
We finally have a regular festival that we can count on that has, like, in Sacramento, there's a couple I can...
There's a couple. They have the Aftershock Festival, the big
like,
one there.
Yeah, I always know Aftershock Festival.
Bottle Rock is happening,
Bottle Rock,
you know.
So, like, they're just like, and there's a couple in San Francisco.
San Francisco, like, has Outside Lands and, like,
Outside
some,
Lands.
Yeah,
is, Outside
and
Lands
Hardly
is one
Strictly,
I'm thinking of.
Bluegrass.
Day in the Green or whatever. And
yeah,
So I feel like now, from what you're saying too, is like, now we have one now too. Like,
yeah, and I mean, obviously, there's a growth period to it, you know. So, like, Bottle Rock, for example, in Napa, which is really big now and has a great lineup. Like, you know, I think last year, the year before, they had Foo Fighters. Like, you know, they're able to get these, like, top tier bands. And we're not quite there yet. We're, like, maybe just the tier below that. So if you look at the if you look at our headliner this year, G-Eazy, and then Portugal the Man or Schoolboy Q was the first night. And both of those bands, like, all three of those acts are, like, not quite top tier. They're, like, tier two-ish, you know? They're not, like, Chance the Rapper, Beyonce.
A bigger festival, they would be bands down in the smaller print of bands.
Right. I mean,
they
would be the second, you know, they would be the second tier. They would be playing like
medium sized.
They would be playing
font.
Like they would be in the medium sized font, you know. They're definitely not, you know, that next level, like I'm saying, you know, they're not, you know, Chance the Rapper, Kendrick Lamar. They're not quite that level yet, you know, Paul McCartney. I mean, it's not, we're not there yet. We're not there
yet. But
the
base is there.
The base is definitely there. they're definitely moving in the right direction. I feel like anyone who goes, excuse me, we'll see. I mean, it's legit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the one of the organizers told me this. You know, like a lot of people think of it like, oh, it's just another concert. You know, and mm-hmm. so they'll come an hour before their favorite act, right. whatever. But it's not.
And then like, you figure out it's a festival.
It's a festival, you know? It's a whole thing. So I was thoroughly impressed. I was impressed last year. I was more impressed this year. I was particularly impressed, especially on day one, with the local acts. I mean, so Macondo, Fatty Cakes and the Puff Pastries, Seiji.
Seiji.
Patrick Contreras, Cloud Ship, Planet Asia. And they all just, like, owned it. I mean, they were all just really good. Mm-hmm. Fatty Cakes and the Puff Pastries were really good. They were the first band on the main stage, and I felt like they just really, you know, they're just so good in that context. Seiji was, you know, I think he could have played later in the day, and just the crowd would have been insane for him. Yeah. Macondo sounded as good as I've ever heard them sound. It was just really good, and I'm glad to see that they are doing that. Like they don't have to do that, you know. Yeah. I mean, if you look at other festivals,
they don't have much.
You know, they're not going to have no. I mean, they might have a few bands, the bands that are like from the area that would fit or yeah. are at that level. But they're not making a space for it in the way that Grizzly Fest did. And it was early in the day, so there wasn't a ton of people there. And so, you know, in one respect, and I know why they do it, and I don't think they could change this, but I would have liked to have seen some of those bands play later in the day when yeah. there's more people there, because I feel like the people that are coming to see, you know, Schoolboy Q or so, whoever, like these other, like, national acts would see someone like Seiji and just be like, oh, my God, you know?
Wouldn't even realize they're from Fresno.
Right.
They're just like, oh.
Yeah. So because they're putting on the show, the music, like, everything, it's at that level. So I think it's
where
did you, I was
where
really
did you
cool.
park? Where did you park? This
I
is
parked
what I need
in the
Woodward Park?
In Woodward Park, and it was fine.
Rolled around a while until you found the spot?
I mean, no, there's bazillions of spots of it. I got there early, so there was a billion.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there was just spots everywhere. But even when I left, I mean, there's plenty of parking. They're not even close. They could probably triple the size that they were last year.
Is the park open like it normally is? Like, are there people just doing Woodward Park stuff like normal?
Yes, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't think they closed down the park.
Right.
I don't know if, like, that means that if I just wanted to go to the park. I mean,
right.
I suppose you could get in.
Where is it you pay for the concert?
When you're coming in, the only way to enter for a Grizzly Fest into the thing is
to come. You
always
have to pay $5 to go in.
It's always $5. If you're parking for Grizzly Fest, you're coming in off of Fort Washington.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of lead you around. I don't know if, you know, you could come in off of one of the other exits and pay the $5 and park and walk. I don't know.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I don't think, I don't know because I didn't try.
I'm sure you can.
But you definitely could park in.
Fright and Fort Washington entrance is where you go to go into the festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And then you just, you know, they have a box office there. And yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I think there is still room for them to grow in that space, you know.
Yeah.
And
they're not taking up so much that they're gonna have to think about a different seems like Woodward Park's a pretty solid
venue. I think they could go as big as they wanted to go and still be fine with Woodward Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I mean, I think they could go. I mean, Woodward Park's never gonna hold as many people as, you know, whatever the park in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, or what's the one in New
Treasure
York?
Treasure Island.
What's the park in New York that they have all the concerts at?
Yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, I do think it definitely has room to grow. And so, you know, the question will be how many people show up this year and whether or not that makes enough financial sense for them to continue on. Right. I think they at least have another year or maybe a 2 years in them before, like, if they don't make a big push, then they'll have to decide, like, hey, have we lost enough money mm-hmm. on this to be able to, you know, because festivals, they're going to lose money in the first however many years anyway until they really kind of establish. So, you know, yeah, I think if enough people show up this year to make it, like, viable for next year, and I think that's going to be the case. Then we have a couple more years, and hopefully in those couple more years, it'll be able to grow and people just realize, like, oh, and you know, truthfully, I think the other thing is this may not be, solely like on Fresno to make this thing work. It's a regional festival. So it's like, you know, it's not just going to be, it won't survive.
We need Merced and Visalia and Madeira. Right.
And that's already happening some. Mm-hmm. You know, they put out that little map of like all the states where people were coming in for Grizzly. And it was like 28 different states people were coming in from. So, I mean, that's what it's going to take as much as anything, you know, like Aftershock in San Francisco, right? Like, Aftershock in San Francisco or in Sacramento isn't just relying on people in Sacramento to come to the mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. So, like, we shouldn't think that, like, oh, it's just a Fresno thing, because it's not, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it can't be in order for them to make mm-hmm. it. So, I don't know. That's my two pieces about it. But it was awesome. Congratulations to those guys.
Keep it up.
And keep
Grizzly
it up.
Fest.
Hope to see you next year.
Stop getting it. Don't get in the way of it. Let's help it. You're a city official.
Yes. So
just help it get better. Yes. Don't get in the way of it.
Here's the other thing. I don't know. So last year there was a lot of police presence. This year, I saw some cops walking around, but there wasn't a heavy police presence. It didn't look like the neighbor. You know, I left, while the headliner was still playing last night, and you know, you could hear it, but it. I don't think it was getting into the neighborhoods really. So I think, you know, maybe if it's as it gets bigger, but
I saw somebody,
I still think it's great,
on Twitter saying like, they could hear from their backyard and that their son was a fan of one of the bands that was playing and he was getting mad that he
wasn't
like,
there.
I don't think he knew they were playing or didn't understand what was going on. And like, could hear his band from his backyard. I'm like, what
He's
the
like,
hell is happening?
I need to get over there. Oh, that's funny.
So that's what I would enjoy if I lived in that neighborhood. But
definitely. What else? Do we want
to get to the band of the episode. On the whole vibe of national, there's a couple of touring bands coming through town.
Ooh.
And one of them contacted us, was like, could you help us?
You get that a lot.
And this one just happened to time it right. So usually I ignore them or just say nah. But this one that time
well,
to
so,
write
the, And the other thing I think what is good about this is so the bands are coming in, they're playing, and they're playing at La Maison Kebab.
Which is what?
That's what a lot of people probably think. So it is the place that used to be the Fulton, it's the place that used to be Peeves, which used to be Milano, which used to be the Fulton, you know, and on and on and so forth, or Mom and Pops and then the Fulton or whatever. So that spot that, you know, used to be Peeves right there on what used to be the Fulton Mall. Now it's just Fulton Street. But it has historically been a music venue, and it's also historically been odd different little restaurants and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they reopened as a restaurant, like a Mediterranean place, and recently have started having bands. And what I think is cool about it is it's kind of a punk rock place, you know? So they're having, I was walking by the other day on my way down to see the Fresno football club, and there was this dude, just punk rock dude, playing his acoustic guitar in there, being all crazy punk rock, and it was really cool. And it's sort of, it's nice because I remember playing at Milano, you know, one of the first times, that, you know, as early with, It'll Go Back, and it was a really cool place. And I remember seeing, you know, Pink Eye, Pink Eye's first shows there. And so it's nice to see the places coming back.
Yeah.
That being said, let's play the song.
This is a band that the show is the 31st of May.
Oh, I guess we should have thrown that out there.
It's two bands, the Von Trapps from Minnesota are coming. And this,
that's very cool.
And this band, not a part of it, from Eugene. That's it. Part of it. They are not a part of it, Josh.
There you go.
Oh. Bonus.
They're good. I like it. That's going to be.
What bands that popped in your head that it sounded like?
Rancid-y, like that kind, that kind of punkish.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that.
That kind of growly voiced, a little bit of some ska rhythms played throughout, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
See him 31st. Maybe right. Josh will be there.
Maybe. Now maybe. You put me on the spot.
Josh will be there. Don't worry.
It is up my alley. It is kind of music. That's up my alley.
It's in the, it'll grow back-ish.
It is in the vein.
Yeah, I could hear, if you guys, if the not a part of it's listening, you want a band to open up for you.
Yeah, hey, Josh. That is true. You could reach out.
It'll grow back.
I have several bands.
Yeah. It'll go back, or the
Strikingly Originals.
Strikingly Originals could play that show.
All right. What else? What else is on our? Now that we cleared the music out of the way,
before we leave the music,
are there? There's more music.
We have an anomaly show. Quite a.
Oh yeah.
I think that probably wouldn't happen in other towns. I would think sort of a Fresno, weird Fresno thing happening.
Yeah, man. We get these sometimes.
Yeah, the Silver Sun Pickups.
Silver Sun Pickups
are playing Strummers.
Strummers,
a major rock band.
Pretty major. Last time they played, they were at the Save Mart Center.
There you go.
And now they're playing
what in the
250 small club is.
And you're thinking like, wow, is nobody care about Silver Sun Pickups anymore? But it's not, apparently not the case.
So, yeah. When I saw this show announced, so New Rock 104 announced it, it's like one of their, it's like between them and Numbskull Productions, who brings a bunch of bands through town. And saw that they were at Strummers, it was like, whoa. How, I mean, it's the kind of thing that it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
And I assumed, you know, that the reason, so, and this is like kind of one of these things that like I just picked up on, and people who are not really like, don't deal with promoters probably don't realize these things happen, but, you know, promoters, a promoter who works in different markets can kind of bundle things together and make things a little more attractive for an artist who's coming through. So if you you know, book shows in on the Central Coast and down in LA and here in the Central Valley and may, you know, whatever, then you can say like, look, if you come through and play this show, I can book you three shows.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little more attractive. And so a lot of times it's like, if they, you know, I'll book you a good show here and here. And then in Central Valley, if you could play Strummers, we can pack it out. And though it's smaller, a much smaller venue than you would mm-hmm. normally play, you know, it's going to be a good show because, but then you were telling me
that
so it has
I've
something
been,
to do with,
I've been told that they're playing a bigger show and that part of that contract of that bigger show is that they can't play any venues in the area that are say 2,000 or more.
Right.
And so that's part of the reason why they're playing such a tiny club
right.
for such a big band.
So that's another thing that happens a lot of times where they have non-compete clauses is mm-hmm. what they call them. And so a lot of festivals will do this. So Coachella is like famous for it. So mm-hmm. like if you're playing Coachella, you can't play anywhere within like 300 miles uh-huh. within, you know, a month of the thing, you yeah. know. So a lot of festivals have this to varying degrees, you know. And so Fresno gets lucky a lot of times because a lot of times we're outside of the compete clauses for the big uh-huh. festivals. So that's why a lot of times you'll see like a touring band.
Yeah, come, a lot of like Coachella that, bands.
Right. They'll here. End up playing at Cellar Door yeah. or whatever. I had never heard about the about this thing where it was based on venue size, but mm-hmm. that definitely could be. So that's cool. The show, unfortunately, is sold out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so,
quickly sold out.
I think. And so I saw someone.
I'm mad at myself because I was like, oh, I'll get tickets this week.
And then, right. And well, so it I saw someone who was looking at tickets, and they were like, you can buy tickets, right, still.
They're still secondary market.
But they're second, and they're like hundreds of dollars,
jeez.
Which is effing makes, ridiculous.
Makes sense for like, because you're going to have, you know, Silver Sun pickup fans from all over the state
oh,
be
yeah,
like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I can go see them in a 200 or whatever.
Right.
500 right. seat venue. Like,
right. But don't spend 200, yeah. like.
Well,
I hate this. I'm so this is a thing that I've been
talking about this recently too.
More and more, and I hate it. I hate this. I hate the secondary market so much because it's like, look. So it's one thing, secondary market tickets for, you know, Paul McCartney or whatever, Save Mart Center stuff, or even mm-hmm. like, I don't know, whatever it might be. Like, but I feel like what's happening is. The secondary market, people are picking up tickets for shows that don't need to go on the secondary market.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, you know, and then selling them for like three times as much as they're worth, and people are paying it because they don't realize, like, you can just go to the website.
You can still buy tickets.
Right. So,
normally.
For this, like, you know, I mean, one thing is, like, if they are available already on the secondary market, it means that someone picked them up for that purpose.
Right.
Which is, to me, like, that's bullshit.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, like, so you're just making an extra whatever money, an extra whatever off of it.
Yeah. Somebody.
And the only way that's going to stop is if people just stop fucking buying
yeah.
tickets. And, but it's difficult because here's what happens. You go Silver Sun Pickups, Fresno, and the first thing that comes up are all these secondary market tickets. So uh-huh. if you don't know that, like, they're playing at Strummer's and you need to go to Strummer's website or you yeah. need to go to Numbskull's website, who's mm-hmm. the promoter, or you need to go to Silver Sun Pickup's website.
Yeah.
You know,
you're just going to see those tickets.
You're like, just going to see the tickets and be
are.
Like, oh my God, I can't believe, and, or maybe you won't go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate and it makes me mad and I don't know what to do about it other than tell people about it. So
stop
I'm telling you about
secondary
it now.
Tickets.
Don't do it unless, I mean, I get if it's a show, this could be a show that, like, you're a huge Silver Sun Pickups fan, you know, you were going to go to the show, you didn't get tickets somehow, you know, maybe whatever, they were sold out before you could get to a computer or whatever, and so, and you really, really want to go, and it's the only date you're going to be, you'll never mm-hmm. see them again. Okay. But, yeah. Okay, are we done
Josh
with music?
Is sad. Josh is sad.
I'm not sad. I'm just mad. It's just it's one of the things because I've heard from a lot of people about it, who just like can't believe ticket prices are so much and blah. And it and I'm like, why are you like, saying?
You gotta pay attention when they go on sale. And
so you have right. And I mean, you have to pay attention. And you also, I mean, a lot of times it's not even that. It's just paying attention to where tickets. You know, people want the convenience of just like typing in Google, like tickets, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not, you're not going to get that. Like, if you type in ticket, if you type in whatever you're looking for, tickets, you're going to get some crazy
shit. Go down to the ticket office like I used to always have
okay,
to do.
Okay. So, look, here's the thing. If you go down to ticket office at any of the places, you're probably going to get better access in that you're going to be talking to someone who can look at the thing and pull
that's,
it up.
That's someone who knows what they're doing.
And a lot of times you're not going to get, not going to have to pay the convenience fees. And a lot of times for shows at Save Mart Center, if they're not sold out, you can get some decent tickets fairly close day of. So
yeah, they'll open up. You know, I don't know how that works, but it always seems like the day of their tickets get opened up.
They'll hold tickets back a lot of times for different things. And then they end up not getting used. Right. So they'll have blocks of tickets that'll open up and they could be good tickets. So, you know, if it's not if you for 100% sure want to go, make sure you do it early and whatever. But you can always go to the box office. If you don't care and you're just like, ah, maybe we'll just go to the box office day of and hope for the best or whatever. So that's what
there's,
I say.
There's the recos from Josh.
Yeah.
Do we know enough about the Fresno soccer team? There's a lot of controversy about them possibly moving. Yeah. Like the Grizzly Stadium's just not going to work for them.
Well, so they definitely will be moving.
That's not a question. They're not trying to figure out. No. So now they got to figure out where.
The
Grizzly Stadium's just not going to work.
So
period. There's no
right.
There's
so
no contingency of maybe if Grizzly Stadium
no,
did this
because. So I saw something the other day, like to be to get your FCC or your FCC to get your to be part of the professional league or whatever league that they're part of. Part of that whole thing, the franchising into the league, is that you will have a dedicated stadium, right? That's like a soccer stadium, like whatever. That was part of the plan from the beginning. So Chichanti Park was a stopgap until they could get that thing done.
Yeah.
So they have to have a new place, you know. And so the question is, where is that new place going to be, and what is it going to be?
Yeah.
And so the story that came out, and it has been out in the public for a while, is that it might not be downtown. It might not be in Fresno. So, by that I mean it might be just over the line in Madera. It might be off into Clovis, although I don't think that's probably the case. It might be just south. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. But there's a good chance, really good chance, I think, that it won't be in downtown Fresno, and that has a lot of people upset.
Yeah,
but what do you do about it? Because it's the same thing with Grizzly Fest, you know. And even yesterday, I was talking to a bunch of people who were like, "Why'd they move it out of downtown?" You know, and it's like, look around, look around. This is why they moved it out of downtown, because you can't do this down. Like, where would you do something like
that? So much you can do in a baseball stadium,
and it's the same thing with that. You know, with this, it's like they need land to build this stadium. Where is it? Where is it? It doesn't exist. You know, they have
not downtown. You would have to knock down stuff to make room for a soccer stadium.
And they have a real estate guy who deals with, you know, these kind of things looking for, so it's not like they're not trying. I haven't heard, so I don't know if all things considered, they would rather keep it downtown or not. Like, I don't know if that's a consideration for them.
Right.
But it is just one of those things. And it's like, you have to balance it out and go like, do we want a professional soccer team in the area?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want a professional soccer team downtown? Because if you want a professional soccer team downtown, you might not get it. you know, at least the kind of soccer team you want. Right. So, and I understand. I mean, again, going back to Grizzly Fest, just because music is more my thing, I would rather Grizzly Fest be in downtown Fresno. I can walk to it from my house. Yeah. I would rather the soccer team be in downtown Fresno because that's where I think these types of things should be.
Yeah.
It might not work. And we're going to have to be okay with some of that stuff, you know? And the reasons why, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but one of it right now is like because downtown is starting to bubble back up and like people are interested in it and there's a lot of stuff happening. Prices for real estate are going up. Price or real estate is just not available because people are interested and have already bought or whatever.
I would think it feels like it would be great to have it by Grizzly Stadium and big cities.
That
do
would
this.
Be
they
crazy.
Have, they have an arena. They have a baseball stadium. Right. They have a football stadium all
where
within
do you do
walking
it,
distance. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you would have to knock something. But the only thing I would think of is there's all that area between the railroad tracks and, say, Broadway Lofts. There, you know, it's just sort of a dead area of nothingness. Yeah. And then the high-speed rails kind of in that section and all that. I don't know if that's enough room, but
I don't think there's enough. I can't imagine a parcel or even several parcels that would be big enough. I mean, maybe on the other side.
So you're just talking
like,
about tearing up.
There's a lot
out
of like government and stuff, buildings and stuff that are kind of in there. So, I mean, I don't know. And you know, there was a little bit of a dust up between one of our longtime listeners, Ed Stewart, and the team, you know, because the team, when the story kind of came out, they had this tweet that was something like, you know, hey, you know, a good real estate agent. and they just kind of like joking, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Ed took a little bit of offense, like, man, you shouldn't make light of this thing that for a lot of people means a whole lot, you know?
Right.
And they had some back and forth on that. And it was weird to see that interaction between the team and him and the whole, you
know.
Because the internet's such a weird thing.
The Foxes have a huge,
like,
huge fan, like this great fan base.
Yeah.
They're very, very into the team and supportive. And it's a whole party around going to the games and stuff. And unlike any other. Even more so than, say, Fresno State football, I would
Right now, probably,
Not more fans, but the energy around the Foxes is probably more than any other team in town. And
they have several
to have them going
squads, you know. Right. So they have the Fire Squad and they have the Skulk. And
yeah,
so there's like all
it's
of these
confusing for a non.
Yeah.
For my soccer knowledge comes from watching a 9-year old soccer.
Right, you're like I don't
for
get
years.
It. Right. So, do you chant?
Watching youth soccer. The whole point is like hoping nobody. Or wishing the other parents would shut up,
right?
Like,
and hoping no
yelling,
one falls down and cries.
People yelling too much, because
they're not
yelling,
chanting,
yelling, yelling at 13-year-old referees, and like everyone, shut up and just watch the soccer game.
Yeah,
that's interesting that you know you have this huge supportive fan base now, sort of at odds with what's going on, and obviously you want it to be downtown. Especially since Tioga Sequoia is so tied to those games.
Right.
And like, what do you do? And if you're going to drive out to Madera and, you know, 41 and 15, and it's not the same vibe. And I don't know.
I mean, and truthfully, I think that anyone who is the supporters will support, they'll do what they need to do because that is what you do. But yeah, there are some legitimate questions and the trade-offs there. But at the end of the day, it is a business, and you got to figure out – you got to do what you have to do to make it work. So we'll see. I personally – you know, I'm not really one of these people who is – so I'm definitely pro downtown. I am very much a lot of times like anti other places – in that, like, I just don't go there. You know, like, there's all sorts of really awesome stuff that has been popping up north of Herndon. You know, like on that Fryant. I just drove by there the other day to go to Woodward Park yesterday. And there's all these, you know, where the Trader Joe's 41 is.
In Fryant.
And, yeah, and there's the Dave & Buster. I was blown away last night. I saw the Dave & Buster's, like, all lit up. I don't go there.
Right.
So it's not that I hate it, whatever. I just don't go there. It's not accessible for me, so I don't go there. That being said, I'm not one of these people who is like, ooh, everything has to be downtown or everything. You know, if cool stuff is cool stuff, let's make it happen.
Right.
You know, let's put it where, you know, let's be smart about it. And if it makes sense, let's have it in the place that it makes sense. It would be weird to have, you know, Fresno Soccer Club in Madera.
Yeah.
But what do you, but you know, but if that's,
better than not having
if that's
it.
The space and they can have a really cool stadium up there and bring out, I would think, you know, not that's, only that's what you soccer
gotta,
games, but other.
That's cool, what you got to sort of imagine is a soccer stadium built for it. And that be in a real soccer stadium and not a baseball stadium that you have to sort of finagle.
I mean,
to make
the
it.
Other thing, the scarier part of it is if it's a soccer stadium and it's built sort of in a similar fashion as the baseball stadium, and we're assuming that, you know, a soccer season runs however long and then it's going to be kind of empty and they're going to want to fill those days with something else.
Right.
Then you're coming in direct competition with Chachansey Park.
Ooh.
And that to me becomes – that to me might become – start to become a problem. You know, what do you do with now, you know, all of those soccer games, the big-time soccer games, the teams from Mexico or whatever coming in that are bringing, you know, 30,000 people or however – I don't know how many people the stadium – it's not 30,000. But, you know, 15, 17,000 people come into the stadium. Now do all of those people go – to the soccer stadium?
Right.
And I mean, maybe not, because I think the soccer stadium is going to – it's going to be purposefully built to be smaller. But whatever. There are questions that I think, you know, are worth asking. But ultimately, do we want this thing? Then we got to kind of have to support it going where it goes.
Well, keep an eye on it.
All right.
Keep
an
eye on it.
And Ed can definitely chime in if he wants on Twitter and let us know what we –
I'm sure
many mistakes
about it
we
on,
made
on their podcast.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. So I went to a game. So they have invited us nicely. Invited us to go to a game with them, right? I know you were not available. I have not been available yet. And then not the last game they played, but the game before, I had some friends randomly like, oh, we have tickets to you, and I was available, so I went, and then I felt bad because I was like, oh, I've been invited by the podcast all these times, I didn't go, and then suddenly I'm there with some other people. It's nothing personal.
There you go. On record now. That's what happened. If you're wondering, like, oh, Josh will go in, but
yeah, he won't come hang out with us, but he'll go with his other friends.
Have you been to that downtown restaurant, the new downtown restaurant that's by off of Fulton, that's by the Crest Theater. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the Crest Theater building, and it is this is the one that's the guy, the head chef for the Vineyard in Madera,
the famous Vineyard,
has opened up this restaurant, and I want to hold on 1 second. I want to look up the name because I always get it wrong. And it is Libelula. Libelula. With the accent Lula. It's Spanish for dragonfly. So if you go by there, there's a big dragonfly on the thing, and that's why. Hold on. See if I can do this.
Libelula.
Did you get that?
I think you did it right.
Libelula. Okay. It's great. It's a really cool place. It's very small. It's not like super fancy, but the food is ridiculously good. Mm-hmm. The prices I feel like are really on point. I had a asparagus Benedict that was just ridiculously good. Oh. They have these giant cinnamon rolls that are really awesome. Yeah, I know some people who have been there several times. They just love it. They have a really wonderful breakfast burrito. They're really good about making substitutions and things for people who are maybe vegetarian or vegan, that kind of thing. So, cool place.
All right.
Highly recommend. They get weird hours, so check before you go. I think it's like 9 to 3.
All right.
Monday through Saturday or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But so check before you go. And you can look at the menu and stuff online too. So
cool.
But I would definitely recommend.
Good record.
All right. That's, so now it's time to
plug it up.
Okay.
Josh, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, you're good. It's me.
What are you doing this month?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. So for May, I don't necessarily have anything. I don't necessarily have anything coming up in June, and we'll talk about this next month. My band, The Striking Originals, has a show coming out. So we have three singles that we will be releasing, new, brand new material. We'll be doing that in conjunction with a live show at Full Circle Olympic with some ska bands and some punk bands, Sunnydales and For the Record and
Iwanaga.
So it's going to be really cool, and we're going to go all out. So that is happening in June. We'll talk about that on June episode, I am sure. Other than that, I don't have anything really happening. It'll Grow Back is around, so if you want to check that out. Big Balls, AC/DC cover band, we haven't played in a while, but always out there. And then I do have another band, and I can talk about it because there is a official Instagram page. We're called the Downwinders. It is not a fart reference. Everyone thinks it's a fart reference.
Fart reference, huh?
But I do not sing or do. I play guitar.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
So, it'll be interesting. We're still in the early stages, but I probably within the next few months, we will be playing some kind of live show. So it's a whole it's a departure.
Josh's repertoire.
It's a departure for me, but very cool. I'm very happy to do that. And then I have my other job at the Fresno Bee, FresnoBeehive.com. If you want to check that out, I write about some of these things that we talk about, but mostly entertainment and different stuff. If you want to read about the Grizzly Fest, I should have a review up on that. And then I have another podcast. It's an Aikido martial arts podcast called Aikido Discussed, and you can find that on all your podcast places. If you want to know about the martial art of Aikido and a lot of other kind of self-defense-y stuff gets talked about, but most of it revolves around Aikido.
Yeah, kids classes at your.
We do have kids classes. We have kids, so we have two classes.
Where
we
is
have
it a, at the keto?
It's Aikido of Fresno.
Aikido of Fresno.
And we have four. We have a kids class from, I think it's five to eight, and then we have a older kids class that's like that 8 to 12 or 8 to 13, and then they kind of we move them into the adults classes. So. And I think there's a homeschool class as well. So we're part of Inspire. Homeschoolers will probably know, but there's a homeschool vendor that we are part of. And so we have I think there's maybe one or two of those classes every week that we have a part of for kids. So. And it's cool. It's a really, I personally believe, and I help teach the kids' classes. I think it's a really good martial art for kids. You're teaching them the things that they need to know at this point. So, you know, your kid's not going to come and learn to punch someone in the face or claw someone's eyes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because, come on, like, they're a child. That's not really, it's not really appropriate, I think. But they are going to learn, like, how to sit in one spot and not fidget around Ooh. And be bothered. You know?
That's the number one selling point.
I mean, no, really.
For a parent. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's the a thing that we do. You know, one part of getting your first belt is just to be able to sit. We have a specific way that we sit. But and just be able to be focused and not be bothered, and we'll come around and make faces and try to poke them or whatever. Not really, but you know, and can
like a speech arts class really that thing where you had to try and make somebody laugh,
right?
And you couldn't
that, yeah, so that kind of thing, and see if they can just sit there. You know, we also teach them how to fall and how to roll, which is not so important for kids because like kids are real resilient and they kind of bounce, and their bones are kind of they're a little more malleable, let's say, than old people. But it's skills that will carry on into their adult lives. And especially for that those like younger or the older set as they're moving into like the teenage years and they're getting kind of weird and awkward with their body, like having a class that helps them move and kind of coordinate their body is really cool. So that's my pitch for it.
Look it up.
More than I should have done, but you asked. So,
all right, tell them Josh and Sam from Flowing with Babies.
Yeah, actually, that it won't get you anything, but
it'll be nice to hear.
Yeah. So, what do you got going on? I know there's
just all the normal stuff. The podcasting.
Podcasting.
Get off my podcast.
Get off.
Harrison Ford show. We've done actually done a couple.
Okay. Very good.
Recently. So. Okay. We're keeping up to date on all the Harrison Ford related stuff, and we just had May the 4th and all that.
Oh yeah, very exciting.
Passing
very
of passing of Peter Mayhew. So we talked about all that. That's out there. Dorktown. Still hiatusing, but you just never know when new Dorktown will pop up.
Yeah.
And of course, the Perfect Pour weekly every Friday.
Dang.
A new show about the craft beer, being a beer geek.
Very good.
The fun of being a beer geek.
It's pretty fun, especially now, it seems like.
Always lots of local stuff involved.
Very cool.
And
there's the blog site.
The Fresnan.
Don't forget the blog site.
I had a bad month of getting posts up this month.
Oh, okay.
Time-wise, it's just hasn't worked out for getting Fresnan posts up, but it just goes in spurts anymore.
Yeah.
So hopefully this month will be a better.
Did you put a Game of Thrones up something? I thought I saw.
I did on Medium.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't have. It wasn't appropriate for the Fresnan
or
for MikeyTopPour.com.
Right. Okay.
MikeyTopPour.com for beer.
There you go.
Occasional beer.
So you're kind of everywhere.
The Fresnan on Twitter. Joshua Teehee on Twitter.
Yep. And on Instagram.
And
other places. So
that's what you got.
All right. Well, I will count us back out with a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bow!